Samuel Day with Rise, WWI. If you're trying to rise out of bed, it's hard. It's tough. It's a struggle. Probably colder as you in the home as you get out from under those warm, toasty blankies. Isn't that right, Jason Cairns?
It is. This morning I actually set my alarm for an extra 20 minutes because it was cold outside of the blankets and I didn't really want to get out of them. So I probably could have set it for another 2 hours. I don't know if I would have slept that long, but laying there would have been just wonderful.
It's kind of like
then I would have missed talking to you.
It's kind of like people say with change, it's only when the pain of staying the same is worse than change that people change. And it's like there comes a point where you go, all right, I've got to get out of bed, right? So.
Yep.
Yeah. One quick thought before we dive into Colossians 1:13 is just, I don't know, in our family, we were having some discussion recently about self-criticism, that voice in your head. You and I have talked about it some mm-hmm. before, about the importance of developing self-compassion. And yet, I know something for me, Friday night, I did a high school basketball game, and it went fine. It was an exciting game. But there were two things that I'm like, I gave myself a check down on. And it's just that self-voice. It's amazing how comfortably we beat ourselves up, isn't it?
I think we slip into that almost unknowingly, where there's that voice of accusation, that voice of you're not good enough. I don't know that it's a universal human experience, but I think many of us really struggle with that. And I agree. You know, I was just talking with another friend yesterday about the same sort of thing. This voice of criticism. I don't measure up. I'm not as good as that person. I don't measure up. Even to my own standards. And it just always seems to linger there. Mm-hmm. And I often wonder whether we can come to a point where we move beyond that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't know. We've talked about developing self-compassion, but I mean, I think just I'm going to have to play Andrew Peterson, Be Kind to Yourself. So we've got Colossians 1:13 says, I'll hit it up, New Living. You give me letters to the beloved. This is wonderful, right? For he has rescued us from the one who rules in the kingdom of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. Boy, let's just stop right there. That's wonderful news this morning.
Yeah. So in the prayer, kind of to pull this together, it says, may gratitude and thanksgiving fill them, benefactors of the light and life of Christ, delivered from darkness and death, no longer prisoners in evil's domain.
Mm. Yeah, you know, that's interesting because Paul uses that again later with 2 Timothy chapter 2. He talks about gently instruct those who oppose you that God may grant them repentance, leading them to knowledge of the truth and setting them free from Satan who's taken them captive to do his will. So there's that same idea.
Yeah. Hmm. Right. You know, and you know, it's interesting, even tying it back to what we were just talking about. You know, what is one of the names we come up with or we know of for Satan? It's the accuser, right?
Right.
And I think that we hear you're not good enough, whether it's in relationship to how we're living in life or in how we relate to how God loves us. You know, I think the accuser will often tell us that how could God really love you? You're, mm-hmm. you're kind of a mess, you know,
right.
And you know, but to be able to say in Christ, right, mm-hmm. we've been delivered from that.
Right. No, exactly. As soon as we were talking about the self-criticism and you said the word accuse, I thought of that. And that's very helpful because, and I think that's at the other end, right? This Crabb and Allender book from back in the day when they partnered together for a minute, but encouragement, the key to caring. I mean, when we encourage in any way, shape, or form, a text message, verbally, it's so important because, yes, there's a spiritual battle going on, Satan and his minions, and they're accusing, and it's rough.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think one of the things that he wants to do in addition to accusing is isolate. And so I agree. I think, you know, encouragement is one of those things we can really offer to one another. And as I've said to you before, I think that's one of your great gifts is mm-hmm. the ability to encourage.
And when you say that, you're encouraging me. So there we go. All right. Hey, that's why those 5 minutes are the best of the day. Thank you, friend, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Unpacking Colossians chapter 1 here on WWIB. It's Winnie the Pooh Day, and we're celebrating by asking you, who's your favorite Winnie the Pooh character? Let us know on the listener line. We've had Tigger. We've had Eeyore. We've had various answers already. Pooh or Piglet is what Vicky said. So also on the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page, just posted this Winnie the Pooh quiz. Which animal character are you? And Caleb, you've now taken it.
Yes, and it keeps disappearing. So I took a picture of it on my phone because it kept changing. And I actually answered this. I took it twice, once on my phone and once on the computer, and answered the exact same to each question. Got two different ones.
Really?
But I was really hoping, it's like, I don't want to be Rabbit. I don't want to be Rabbit. Well, I did get Rabbit, but I got Piglet, which I also didn't really want to be.
Okay.
But again, this must be who I am. So it says, Piglet, you are a kind, gentle, and sometimes shy soul. When your friends need you, you willingly face your fears to help. You move through the world guided by loyalty and bravery.
Mm.
Not so bad.
No. And I don't have the reading up for me. I took it yesterday, but I came out as Winnie the Pooh.
Oh,
and I think optimist. I'm an optimist. Susan's kind of told me, she's like, oh, you're such an optimist. And as a big compliment, so I appreciate that. And so there you go. Winnie the Pooh. Also, keeping in line with that, I had not one but two peanut butter and honey sandwiches last night.
There
there you go.
Well, there are a lot of times when you have small children that they will develop names for things and you just wonder, where did they get that? But oftentimes, you like, you know, it becomes part of your vernacular and you like what they say better. For instance, Cooper doesn't say 2 days ago, he says last yesterday. Or if he's talking about a couple days in the future, he says next tomorrow. And I've just realized that makes more sense to me. And I like it better.
Cute when they're a kid, but if you're a grown-up and doing it, maybe not.
Yeah. So kids' alternative names for things here in the Wib Wake Up Show. We've got some of these from people.com, I believe. This parent says, my four-year-old calls a box of Kleenexes a bless you box.
There you go.
Say bless you and hand him a tissue. Sure.
Someone else says, we still use the term rainbrella in our house, even though said son is now in his 30s.
Not an umbrella, a rainbrella. Last night, my four-year-old said a prayer for all the people in the world, including Africa, Asia, and Syrup.
Yeah. There you go. You know, I mean, you know, Turkey gets the Food Association, but Syria and Syrup, there you go. Someone else says, my son called his shoelaces tires. T-Y-E-R-S, tires. He said, you're stepping on my tires. I mean, they do get tied.
They do. Yeah, it makes sense. Again, alternative names for things from kids. Weigh in if you have some on the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page or 715-396-1670. This parent says, when my guy was 3 years old, he named coffee grounds bean dirt.
Yeah.
Makes sense. There Very literal. Go.
Exactly. Someone else says, my five-year-old calls the Green Jolly Ranchers lightsaber flavor.
I feel like that makes them taste better.
That's
what Luke Skywalker would want. My four-year-old, this parent says, called trampolines jumpalines.
Uh-huh.
That also makes a lot more sense.
There you go. You got one of those, right?
Yes, indeed.
Very popular. Our kids loved it. Someone else says, my kid says what she misses most about going to the movies is getting snacks from the confession stand.
Yeah. Jokes abound there.
Share that with Mike and Connie and Mike on.
And finally, this parent says, my child has been carrying a small notebook around all day. She opens it, writes small scribbles, and quickly closes it back up. She's calling it her secret diarrhea.
Oh.
Not diary. Okay. Not diary.
Oh, it's so easy to make those slips.
The things kids say. Yeah. What's yours? 396-1670 if you want to shoot us a text or a voicemail. Well, I was watching Shark Tank the other day, and they were talking about Richard Branson and how that billionaire has his own island.
Huh.
But does he have his own Old West town?
Yeah,
I'm sure he could afford it. Not sure the rest of us could, but that's what I want.
Yeah, an entire Old West town is currently listed for sale in Colorado. We'll save the price for a moment. And pictures show a breathtaking moment frozen in time for anyone who's a big fan of Western themes and architecture, as well as simply getting away from it all.
Probably the listing says, do you call your friends and neighbors pilgrim? Wish you could wear spurs every day?
Yeah.
This is for you. 320 acres available in a town in Colorado that I can't pronounce. It's a throwback Old West town that includes a three-bedroom, three-bathroom Ponderosa Lodge. Pretty cool. The luxurious residence features a gourmet kitchen and boasts designer lighting and Amish hickory flooring throughout. The living room includes a one-of-a-kind indoor water feature. And the property also includes equestrian facilities that offer a five-stall stable, for your horses, as well as an oversized barn with 13 stalls.
Hmm. The rest of the town includes other things, a restaurant, a general store, a chapel, as well as operational hotel and dance hall. Property features a couple of ponds, two creeks, three wells, and the area is populated by a variety of wildlife that includes elk, deer, and antelope.
I think this sounds fantastic, uh-huh. And whenever someone comes over to visit, it's always high noon. They always can visit at high noon.
Yeah, right.
The spot was previously called the Old Cowtown Resort, and it served as a destination getaway for private events, weddings, retreats, and more. But now, the kicker.
Yeah, well, I got a drum roll. Drum roll, please, to determine just how expensive is your own Old West Town in Colorado. And the grand price is
$4.7 million.
That's all.
For that, do you automatically become the mayor, yeah, the town council, and the school board?
Just to put that in perspective, the median price of the homes in the story we had at 8 o'clock in the state that sold last year, $240,000.
So. All right. But if you have a little bit more than that, mm-hmm, you can buy an Old West Town in Colorado.
There you go. Danny Gokey from our musical gift offer this month. But first, who's this fella?
Oh, take her easy there, Pilgrim.